in the Word of God in 1 Kings chapter 17. If you have a Bible and would like to turn there and follow as I read this morning, I'm going to begin at the 8th verse of chapter 17 and read through verse 16 as we continue our sermon in the life of Elijah. Elijah's God's man. From the Word of God, 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. I talked last week about the reasons that Elijah was successful. He's God's man, and there were three keys to his success. First of all, he was convinced of the reality of God. Secondly, he knew he was a representative of God. And third, he knew the resources that were available to him, and he used them. And as we concluded our message last week, we came to Elijah by a little brook, being fed by the ravens. And some time passes, we don't know how long a time it was, but the brook dried up. And you remember that Elijah had gone into Ahab the king, and he had said, "Ahab, there's not going to be rain for 3.5 years according to my word, because you're transgressing against God. You've done more wickedness than anybody else, and God's going to bring judgment." And it stopped raining. And if you've prayed and you've asked God to hold back the rain and it stops raining and the little brook that's been supplying your water dries up, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Now, when the brook has dried up, God sends new instructions. And that's where we pick up the story today. And he tells Elijah, go to Zarephath. It's in the foreign country of Sidon. It is the hometown of Jezebel. Jezebel will come into this story dramatically in a while. But for now, suffice it to say that she and Elijah were mortal enemies. In fact, Jezebel was his greatest enemy. And to show how powerless she was, God tells Elijah, go to her hometown, and there I'm going to take care of you. I took care of you out here by the brook. Now I'm going to send you to your enemy's hometown to show how powerless she is. So God finds a hiding place for him in Jezebel's own country. And as he's walking into the city, he meets a widow woman coming out. The writer says she's gathering a couple of sticks. A widow was the most helpless person in that day, outside of a babe in arms. She has no husband. That's how she's a widow. Chances are she has no children. This widow has one son. So she has no one to take care of her, no one to provide for her, no way for her to get a living. There's no Social Security. There's no income of any kind from the government. And she is on her own. Helpless, powerless. And she's walking out as Elijah's coming in. You remember the story how Jesus stopped a funeral procession one day? There was a funeral cortege going out. There was a young man about to be buried. His mother was a widow. They were in the town of Nain. And Jesus stops the procession, raises the dead boy back to life, restoring her hope, showing again the helplessness of the position at this time. She has no rank, she has no wealth, she has no power. And Elijah stops her and says, would you give me a cup of cold water? Being gracious, being hospitable, she turns to get him a cup of water. And he stops her and says, on your way back, would you bring me a little cake, a little loaf of bread? And she stops and she turns around and I can see her walking back to him and there's despair in her face and she says, sir, and I'm reading between the lines, I can get you a cup of water, but I don't have any bread to feed you. All I have back home is a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, and I'm going to mix it up and make a cake of bread for my son and I. And we're going to eat it and die. It's such a little amount that the text says she had a couple of sticks. And it literally means two sticks. That's all she needs to bake this little bit of bread that she has. Helpless. And Elijah says to her, go ahead, make the cake, make the little loaf, and then first bring me a cake. And God says, if you do that, The flour in the barrel's not going to run out. The oil in the cruse is not going to run out until God sends rain again. Well, let me jump ahead of the story and I'll come back. She does what the man of God says. And the Bible says the oil didn't run out. The flour didn't run out. And the first lesson I want to bring from this text is God can use whatever we have for Him. We may be rich, we may be powerful, we may be learned, we may be of position. God can use that. We may be somewhere in the middle, we may be somewhere on the bottom. God can use whatever we have, whatever we bring to Him for His glory. Look back through Scripture. When Moses chose something to show the power of God and to represent the power of God, what did he choose? Take some gold, put it together, make some enormous implement, a scepter, a sword, a staff of gold crusted with jewels. No. The Bible says he picked up a stick, a staff, a rod. And you remember he stretches it out over the Red Sea and it parts. And before that, he's done miracles. And the power of God has been shown by simply demonstrating with a stick. You remember the story of David. David takes some sandwiches to his brothers. They're up at the front. They're being faced by Goliath. Goliath is taunting Israel. And David says, isn't there anybody who can stand up to this Philistine, this sinner who is defaming the people of God in the name of God? I'll do it. And King Saul says, okay, wear my armor, take my shield, take my sword. David puts them on, you can see him rattling around him a little bit. He says, these don't fit, these are not my weapons. And he goes down to the river and he picks out 5 smooth stones. When he meets Goliath on the battlefield, he puts one of them into the sling he has. He whips it around and it lands between the giant's eyes. The giant falls unconscious, and David takes the giant's own sword and cuts off his head. 5 small stones. Why 5? Was his aim bad? No. You read on in the Bible and you find out Goliath had 4 brothers. So he's ready for when it comes. Do you remember the story of the little boy? Philip said, Jesus, you told us to find food to feed this 5,000, and all we've come up with is this little boy who has a sack lunch. 5 loaves of barley bread, the cheapest flour, and 2 little dried fish. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, sit them down. Begins to break the bread and break the fish. And the Bible says that all 5,000 were fed and they gathered up 12 baskets full of leftovers. Why 12? The disciples said, where are we going to get enough food to feed this crowd? If we had 3/4 of a year's wage, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them all. And they gathered up 12 baskets of leftovers. 1 basket for every disciple who doubted the power of God, and God used that little boy's small lunch. God can use whatever it is that we have and use it for His glory, whether it's great or whether it's small. It doesn't matter to God if we put it in His hands. So the widow woman took the prophet at his word. But did you notice what she said before she agreed to make the cake and give it to him? Verse 12. As the Lord your God lives. She's not a believer in the Lord God Almighty. She's not a member of the covenant people. But when the man of God speaks to her, there's something that takes place. The Spirit of God touches this woman, and she hears His words, and hope comes to her that she hasn't had in a long time. She's down to the bottom, to rock bottom. She's going to make one last meal for herself and her son, and then they're going to starve to death. But hearing the Word of God brings hope to her. There was an instinctive trust. In verses 13 and 14, Elijah gives direction and says, "The Lord says, the bin of oil shall not be used up. The jar of oil shall not run dry until it rains again." Trust as much as you know about yourself to as much as you know about God. God doesn't expect us to know the end from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. But He expects us to be obedient, to trust Him. This woman hears this word. It may have been the first time she's ever heard a prophet of God speak. But something about it touched her mind, touched her heart, and she listened. With as much understanding as she had, she trusted a God who seems to be a stranger to her. When we're using that which we have for God, trust Him with who we are. And trust Him that He can use us for His glory and to spread the kingdom. Now there's more to this story that we're going to pass over for the time being and go to chapter 18. Chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth.'" This story is about to have a dramatic conclusion. This story is about to unfold in a way that we never would have imagined if we had been watching back at the beginning. Because in verses that come after that first verse of chapter 18, we learn that Ahab has been searching for Elijah. He's had troops and spies and whatever out trying to find him. God has hidden him safely and securely. And now the word of God comes to Elijah and says, "Go. Now's the time. Now you confront the king. Now you appear before him again. It's been 3.5 years. Now you go. Go and appear before Ahab. Thou send rain." Elijah went. Let me conclude by talking about the faithful servant of God who hears the Word of God and listens to the Word of God and acts on the Word of God. Hears and acts on the Word of God. We can hear the Word of God. We can listen to preachers. We can go to church. We can do all kinds of things to hear the Word of God. But unless we act on it, All we've done is listen. The Word of God must be put into practice. Do you remember the story of the four seeds? Jesus told the parable of the sower that sowed seeds, and some went among weeds, and some went on hard soil, and some sprang up. But only one brought forth harvest. The one that had the deep roots, the one that was cultivated. Hear the Word, listen to the Word, and then do it. God says to Abraham, go. To Elijah, go. If Elijah doesn't go, whatever else happens, he's missed it. But God says go, and he goes. Look back into the book of Genesis, chapter 22, where God says to Abraham, take now your son, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 22. Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah, offer him up as a burnt offering there on one of the mountains I will show to you. Abraham and Sarah had waited decades for a son. They thought they'd figured things out when they put their own plan into effect and Ishmael was born to the servant girl Hagar. But God said, that's not the son of prophecy, the son of promise. And then Isaac is born, and they know this is God's prophecy. This is God's prophecy fulfilled. This is the promised son. Now God says, probably about 20 years after the boy is born, take him to a mountain and offer him as a burnt offering to me. The next verse says, Abraham got up early in the morning, harnessed his donkey and took two of his men with him together with his son Isaac. He split the wood for the burnt offering, set out and went to the place God had described to him. Imagine that night, after God has spoken to Abraham saying, go offer your son as a sacrifice. I don't know how much sleep he would have had, but early the next morning, he gets up, he prepares the wood, he takes his son, he takes some men, and he leaves, listening to the Word of God, acting on the Word of God. They come to the mountain and they stop there, and Abraham tells the servants, you wait here. The lad and I are going to go and worship, and we will come back to you. You hear the Word of God, you put the Word of God into action. One more story from the Old Testament. Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. Gideon is approached by a person the Bible calls the Lord's messenger. And the Lord's messenger says to him, Judges chapter 6, verse 12, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. But Gideon replies to him, listen to the sarcasm. Gideon replies to him, with all due respect, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? They've been oppressed. They've been overrun. An enemy camps against them. And Gideon says, where are all his amazing works that our ancestors recounted to us? But the Lord has abandoned us and allowed Midian to overpower us. And the Lord said to him, you have strength, so go and rescue Israel from the power of Midian. Am I not personally sending you? And in a story that I'll share with you in a few weeks, Gideon starts out with 32,000 volunteers to go against Midian. And God says, it's too many. And cuts out 10,000. And God says, too many. And he cuts down to 300. And now God says, go. With those 300, I'm going to give you the enemy. I'm going to overthrow Gideon. Excuse me. I'm going to overthrow Midian. The servant of God hears the word of God and puts the word into action. Let's stop there. With the call from the Spirit of God, to having heard the word of God, to put into action whoever we are and whatever we are and whatever our gifts and whatever our graces, to work for the Lord God Almighty. That little widow woman, I've got a little bitty handful of flour and oil, and I don't need more than two sticks to make a fire to cook it. What can I do? But she did it. Hearing, listening, performing on the Word of God. And watch what God does as we who know Him trust Him.